Thank you. You may be seated. Psalm 116, verse 15 says, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints." And we are here this evening to celebrate what is precious in the sight of the Lord, the death of our brother, Cliff Wixom. Would you please join me in prayer? Father, as we come before you this evening, we acknowledge what is precious in your sight is grieving to our dear sister Judy and her family. And as we have assembled to share memories and stories and to honor the life of one of your faithful men, we ask that you would pour grace upon grace out for this family, that you would minister to their hearts, not just this evening, but in the days and the weeks ahead, that you would provide comfort and answers, that your Holy Spirit would be sufficient, that they would find that your grace is sufficient in their weakness, and that we as a church body would wrap our arms around them. And as we celebrate the life of Brother Cliff, we ask that you would be pleased with it. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. I would like to share two. One of them is not mine. It's Pastor Sean's, but I don't know if he's going to share it or not. About 10 years ago in a staff meeting, we were calculating through some things, and Cliff reminded a pastor of this a couple times, but it's about 10 years ago, and he's like, "What, Cliff, you got, what, 4 years left?" Cliff had a good laugh at that and reminded him of that several different times. Like, "Well, I was supposed to be dead 8 years ago." And if you knew Cliff, that was absolutely him. And the other was one of the fond memories I have. Cliff and I would banter back and forth a little about coffee. If you know me, you know I'm a little particular about the way I drink my coffee. And Cliff would walk into the office in the morning and be like, "Well, who made the coffee?" And if it was Brian, he immediately would grumble about it because he knew it was going to be too strong for him. Fond memories of a dear brother and someone that I've had the privilege of knowing for well over 10 years. Pastor Jonathan.
Yes. He was always the encourager. Every Monday morning, you know what he said? "Good music yesterday, whether it was good or not." I knew better, but he was such an encouragement, and he loved to sing, and he was a good singer in his own right. Led the worship back in England, as I understand. And these are some songs we're going to sing that were his favorites. I think he put them in an envelope and left it for Judy. This is what he wanted to sing. And so would you please stand?
Soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's life for a look at the Savior, and life for abundant and free.
But it's so appropriate. Let's sing it.
Through death into life everlasting, he passed and we followed him then. Over us sin no more had dominion, for more than conquerors we
turn your eyes.
Turn your eyes.
seated.
One of the things that I recall about Cliff for the almost 19 years that I knew him was he always was concerned about other people more than himself. And, you know, just about every day that he was at the office, he'd always pop in and say, "How are you doing?" And I'd, you know, give him an answer, "How are you?" And he'd just brush it off and wouldn't say, but he was intent on, "How are you doing? How is I doing? What can he do to help me?" And I was always focused on that. And just putting others above himself. And I was reminded, actually, today, this morning, of a verse that Cliff, I don't recall him saying it of late, Judy, but I know back when he was in my Sunday school class years and years ago, and in the early years, he used to quote it quite a bit. It was Ecclesiastes 7:2, and it says, "It is better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting." And, you know, you kind of think about that, and that's not a real exciting verse, is it? And yet, talking with Cliff, and, you know, as we went through struggles together, and, you know, as we went through some problems along the way, and as you look at that verse, as Solomon's writing that, the point is, you know, when we come to this point, when we come to a point of mourning, and as we come to remember the life of someone, it should allow us or give us the opportunity to reflect upon our lives. Because death will come to every one of us unless the Lord comes beforehand. And all of us are going to die. It is appointed unto man once to die. And we will succumb to death. Christ is the only one that had victory over death. And so as we come to a funeral, as we come to a memorial service, as we come to remember someone who has lived a life and has gone on before us, the point that Solomon's making is, examine your life. What are you doing for the Lord? Are you living your life for the Lord? Do you know Christ as your Savior? And we will hear testimony after testimony tonight of the fact that Cliff knew Jesus Christ as his Lord and Master. Cliff served Christ. He lived for him. He put him above all else. So some of you might not know some of these things about Cliff, and it was a joy talking with Judy and getting to know a little bit more about him. But on Tuesday, April 4th, the Lord called Cliff home to be with him. Cliff was born in Cuba, New York, on August 14th to Elba and Bertha Wixon. Cliff is survived by his wife, Judy, his sister, Linda, children, Leonard, Justin, Brent, and Kyle. And then there are 10 grandchildren and 3 great-grandchildren as well. At age 17, Cliff joined the U.S. Army and served in Germany and Lebanon with the Corps of Engineers building Bailey Bridges. Cliff was a sergeant before he completed his time of service in the Army. And then after he no longer served his country, Cliff served as a union carpenter in New York, met his wife through there, and then became a project manager for Cannon and Halfpenny. Cliff and Judy got married December 27th, 1968. And even though both of them had grown up in church, Judy put her faith in Christ first. And she trusted Christ as her Savior in 1972. And Cliff, if you know Cliff, he liked to watch people. He was kind of a people watcher. And he just kind of, you know, he was the one who kind of liked to sit in the background a little bit and just kind of observe and get some observations together. And so he observed Judy and observed Judy's life. And you know, I'm sure in his mind, you know, he was asking himself, is this thing that she just said she did, is this real? Is it going to make a difference in her life? What is that difference? And so he watched Judy's life to see if she lived out what she said she believed, and Judy did. And what a great testimony that is. And so he finally agreed to attend church with her in 1974, and God used Hebrews 13:8 to draw Cliff to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ as his Savior. Cliff received degrees from Rochester Business Institute, the Elohim Bible Institute, the J. Adams Team for Counseling, and then he also completed a missionary internship program. In 1976, Cliff committed his life to full-time service, and Isaiah 58, and it's not a misprint, but verse 12 spoke to him, and then he kind of went back to verse 11, so it is verse 12. Then verse 11 were the verses that gave Cliff the assurance that God really did want him in the ministry and to go to the mission field. So Cliff and Judy became missionaries to the UK, and they spent their time there serving in smaller churches that couldn't afford a pastor, couldn't afford to really pay anyone, but they poured their life into those people. Served in four different churches between 1981 and 1996. And then for the last 7 years, Cliff had the opportunity to serve as the chaplain for the North London Chamber of Commerce there as well. In 96, they returned to the States and ended up in Wisconsin. Not sure why they chose Wisconsin. As cold as it is up there. But they served in a small church in Merrill, Wisconsin for about a year. And then they helped plant a church, Northwoods Bible Church, and served there from 97 to 04. Then in 04, they were discussing kind of as a family where they should go. And they felt led to move to Fayetteville. In the beginning, it didn't have anything to do with Berean. It was more about family. I think, Justin, you were here. And so they moved to Berean because Justin needed the most help at the time, and so they decided, no, I'm just kidding. Justin used to work for me, so I can pick on him a little bit. But God brought Cliff and Judy to Fayetteville in 04 to be closer to family, and they began attending Berean. And as it is, Cliff, just as Cliff would be, didn't just sit in a pew and not do anything. He got active. He got busy. And he began counseling with a couple that needed some marital help. And he just jumped right in, started counseling with them, trying to help them. And the pastor, before Pastor Sean, noticed that. And that Cliff was making a difference and asked him to join the pastoral staff part-time. And so Cliff became our counseling pastor there. And then from there, he's done many, many things over the 19 years. Still counsel people probably till a week or two before the Lord took him home. People were going over to Judy's house, and he still had words of encouragement and words of wisdom to share with folks. But he counseled. He served as our senior saints leader. He led our Reformers Unanimous program that we had here for many years. He's conducted multiple weddings and funerals throughout the years. He started a Monday morning prayer breakfast for men. And then here lately, how long ago did he start the Friday morning one, Judy? It's not been that long. It's just a few months. What's that? He calls it the Dead Men's Breakfast or the Dead Man Club. But he started that just a few months ago. When he found out that he was terminally ill, and it was really just a time to get together with other men that also had terminal illnesses, just to be an encouragement to one another and to encourage them and to try to instruct them. Cliff's favorite Bible verse was Psalm 32:8. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. And that definitely was Cliff's story. He allowed God to instruct him and to teach him, and Cliff strove to follow him and to go where God led him. And if you have a testimony, if you have something that you'd like to share about Cliff, we would like to open our mic now to you and have you come and share that with us, if you would. Who will be first? All righty, John. Yes.
I'm John Dayton, and I'm part of the Monday group and part of the Friday group, even though I don't know if I'm terminal or anything yet. But we're all terminal, aren't we? First of all, can you hear me okay? Okay, thank you. One of the great things about Cliff that Jonah and I particularly noticed over the years was, here's a guy who could have easily been teaching a Sunday school class and having lots and lots of people around him, you know, feeding at his feet, if you will. But that wasn't where his heart was. His heart was to be moving through the congregation, from classroom to classroom, up and down aisles, finding people, men, especially men, but women too, even in the men's room. He would stop and talk to you, almost unheard of, but that's who he was. I'm one of those people, it's not easy for me to love more than a few people at a time, but Cliff could love everybody. And you've all felt it, didn't you? And just precious. We're going to miss him. I will probably as much, if not more, than anyone. Thank you.
Amen. Yep. Steve.
I'm Steve Dubois, and Cliff. Cliff is a friend of mine. And, that means a lot. I could probably talk for an hour about the things that we did. And although he's gone from our presence, he's not gone from our hearts or our minds. You know, when you live life, you have absent comrades. You have people that go before you, but yet they stay here with you. And one kind of interesting story of many, many that I could share. Last November, Jack Butler and I, we're both Marines, we were looking for some place to have breakfast on the Marine Corps birthday. And Sean, of course, wouldn't come with us. But anyway, we went and we grabbed Cliff, and we made him an honorary Marine. We gave him the hat, and for one day, yes. Well, it's one of those things, today you are a Marine, and but that was it. But and during that time, you know, he spoke highly. He conducted himself with honor and integrity and brought honor and glory upon the United States Marine Corps. And he ate all his waffle. So, you know, because we of course, went to Waffle House where we spent quite a bit of time. And I would imagine that over the years, I don't know how many gallons of coffee we drank together, but it was always rewarding to speak with Cliff about his past. He talked of the future, and he was a saint. He was someone that I will miss dearly.
Amen. Thank you, Steve.
Today is mixed emotions for me. I'm happy Cliff is with Jesus, but I'm sad he's not with us. We started out with the Wixons as landlords and tenants. We became friends, and then we became family. How do I know I was family? Because Cliff was 85 years old, and I am younger. He would always introduce me as his older sister and Kyle's grandmother. That's what I'll remember about Cliff, but more important, and I'm sorry I had to write these down so I could keep my thoughts straight. Cliff will be remembered as a man who stood up when everyone else sat down. He was the man who did not, he would step up when others stepped back. Cliff chose to be different. He decided to be a man that would be last and not the first. I love you, Cliff, and I miss you.
Judy, family. I'm not very good at talking in front of large groups. I say to your brain starts working as soon as you're born, and it doesn't quit until you get in front of a group to talk. But my friend Cliff, I've known him for 19 years, and as a friend and a counselor, he brought me through some pretty turbulent times in my life. As I was ministering to my wife while she was dying, he was strength and comfort to me. He taught me to look through the eyes of God. And that took a while for me to understand exactly what he meant by that. But everything, there is a purpose. That's what it says in Ecclesiastes. And that's been guiding my life for the rest of my life. And I'll always remember him. He always looked to see if there was anything that I needed. And he would bring bread. And we had a Bible study. Moved the date around from Thursdays to Tuesdays. But I'd make a pot of soup. He'd bring some bread or some cake or cookies and stuff like that. And he brought more people to the Bible study. And some have come and gone. Some have passed away. But I always remember the Bible studies and what I've learned from him. And that I dive deeper into that Bible every day now because of what he taught me. I mean, I am hungry for the Word of God. And he taught me that. And I'm going to miss him sorely. I miss you, Cliff. Thank you.
Man, thank you, Steve. Mark?
I am Mark Smith. I attended church here for years, served alongside Cliff and Judy and the family. What a joy, vibrant encourager, not only here, but the Lord gave us an opportunity. I was managing a self-storage facility here in town, needed help, and Cliff came to work with me part-time, as well as Sam that's waiting to speak. So it was a blessing to be able to have Christian brothers to work alongside. But he was not only ministering here, I saw him many times ministering to and praying with customers that came for storage needs, and they didn't realize they had, the Lord opened the door for whatever they had going on in their lives. And he was ministering wherever he was at. So back to the donuts and cookies, we came to a point where he, just about every time he came to work, he would bring something something sweet. We called it substantialities because it was like, well, we had to have something substantial to eat before we had something sweet. So you talk about coffee here, he was always bringing a thermos with his English tea there. So it was tea and donuts. But I love and miss him and pray for your family.
Amen. Thank you, Mark.
I'm Sam Beach. I've known Cliff since they got here, really, way back then. Like Mark said, got to know Cliff a lot better working at the mini storage place for many years, and that's one of the things I remember was him sneaking in those substantialities that he wasn't supposed to have, but he brought them with him anyway. He loved the sweets, but also he loved people. During that time, when I was working with him on Saturdays, is when our oldest son was going through chemo. And Cliff always, every time, how's James doing? How's he doing? How's the family doing? Every time. That was Cliff. He cared about others more than anything else other than the Lord. And I appreciated his friendship and the time I got to know him.
Amen. Thank you.
My name is Debbie. I'm from Buffalo, New York, and I win the prize. I've known them since the 1970s. And so the family have all been debating who's going to get up and talk. Well, here I am. So I knew all of the boys when they were very little. I got the phone call when Kyle was born. Cliff found all my hiding spots for cookies and donuts in the church, and he would point them out to me. And in 1983, when they were ministering in England, God told my husband and I that we were to visit all the missionaries that we support on the field. And we're like, God, we can't afford that. Well, God did it, and we got the money. And so my husband and I and our youngest, our baby, went to England in 1983. And I remember they were so kind to us, letting us stay at their house. And Cliff knocked on the door and brought us breakfast and bed or whatever. And we're like, what are you doing that? He's like, it's a custom here in England. Well, that was a Cliff custom because of who he is, right? So spiritual mom forever and ever. And Cliff will just live in our memories forever, forever.
Wow. My name is Tim, and truly, Brother Winston is going to be missed. He was a wonderful, wonderful man, and he really, really, truly touched the lives of so many people, different races. Look around you. He is true representation of what a Christian should act like, should be, should live. Wow. I am truly going to miss him, and words can't I can't explain how much he really cared for people. It was just an overflowing of love and compassion, and he would basically help anybody that he could. He would always come out basically and say prayer, you know, for our kids and in the community and different things like that, Thanksgiving, holidays, and different things like that. And that's going to be missed. It's good to see Kyle. Looks just like his daddy. Yeah. But just so heartbreaking. Good people, you know, they leave us. And God really manifested, you know, his power in his life because he extended his years. And that's Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Gary.
My name is Gary. I don't know if I need a microphone. Pastor and I are the best of friends. We're not just friends. We're not churchgoers. He is my best friend. We had breakfast at least 3 or 4 days a week at my house. My wife would bring and make some phenomenal food for us. And for some reason, he always came after she baked. And it just happens to be, he always took something with him. So I would sit there. And I go to my wife when he wasn't there. Are you going to make me anything? Is Pastor coming? No, no, there's your answer. So I was there. So Pastor and I, we were tight. And you're saying, well, Gary, were you that close? Let me just put it to you this way. We were closer than two coats of paint on the wall. And you know that's tight. I have a list here of things I want to say. Number one and foremost, he was my best friend. We shared a lot of life stories. We shared humor. We shared the coffee and my wife's cooking. So I got to let you know that too. And we always got into many good topics. And they were biblical. He was a biblical scholar. And he was my personal tutor. I would come to him and I would analyze parts of the Bible. And then he would have to bring me in. Go, excuse me, son, I got to talk to you. You're not interpreting it correctly. And he would just take it, and he would just mold me to what it's supposed to mean and what I'm supposed to get out of it. He never said I was wrong, even though he knew I was. I had a hard time saying I was, but he did it for me. Okay, so the biblical scholar analyzed God's word for me. And he's the one that really got me started here. He truly cared and was concerned with my challenges. I had many. Two strokes, that's just one. Brain surgery, that's another. I had the virus, almost died. And he did not forget me. He checked on me. He checked with my wife. And I found that was phenomenal. I thought for a second, once he checked one, he said, not again. Not again. But he never, never, never gave up on me. He prayed. He visited. He came to the house. He was not too much on a telephone call. He came. Others would call to come to you and say, well, I'll pray for you. Pastor showed up. That made him different from many other people. And one thing I got to tell you. We got in a conversation one day, and he says, Gary, I got to let you know something. You're full of BS. And I said, wait a second, Pastor. You know, I read the Bible. He says, you're full of BS. And I go, what do you mean, Pastor? He says, you got the Berean spirit. Yep, I'm a Berean spirit type of guy. So when someone says you got BS, it's the Berean spirit. Okay, and I called him Pastor. But sometimes people say, Pastor, and we have an idea what that means. Well, I sat down and I says, what do the letters mean to me? So I says, Pastor, the letter P. To me, it means he pursued integrity. He didn't pursue himself. He was patient with people. So when you look at the word pastor, the P stands for that. When we look at the A in pastor, he had the ability to communicate and listen. So he had the ability to do things that a lot of people don't. They say it, but Pastor did it. And there's a lot of people claim they do. I look at the letter S in Pastor. He was a serving, spiritual, supportive person. He made decisions based on the Bible, his belief system, and he also shared his experiences with you. And he showed how the Bible affected him and what he learned from it, and he passed it on to me. That should never go unnoticed. The letter T in Pastor, trustworthy, genuinely cared. You can tell him stuff, and he was trustworthy. You didn't have to worry about him going out and saying things to other people. Not even his wife, Judy, even though she says, tell me what happened. Tell me what happened. Pastor says, oh, no, I can't. I would break my promise. She says, cross your fingers. I says, that doesn't work. The letter O in Pastor. I found him to be optimistic. How many of you saw that Pastor is an optimistic person? He was always with an upbeat in his personality. He wasn't sitting there dragging his hands across the ground. Another day, another day. He never did this. Like you heard before with many people standing up here. I don't care how sick he was. I don't care how bad he was. He always asked about you. He cared about you. Yeah, I'm sick. But if you need God's healing, let me pray for you. Let me help you. That was Pastor Cliff. And for those who knew him a little bit, that's one thing. So, the last letter in Pastor, R. He was a superior resource for biblical understanding. He was a resource. What does this mean, Pastor? It means this. How does it work? Now, this part of the Bible says this, but over here the Bible says this. He goes, oh, Gary, you're looking at it wrong. Let's look at it. Let's put it together. And let's see how it's supposed to mean, because even though there are words on paper, you got to understand how the Bible connects with each other. Very important. Before he died, I was with him. I was with him a lot during his sickness. I was by his bed. He gave me his knife. I asked his pastor, here's the knife. He says, take it. He says, I want to give you something. I says, okay. So I keep it with me. But here's something I want you all to hear. I believe this is going to be exciting for you. He said, Gary. And I go, what? Because I usually say, what, when he says my name. He says, I want to tell you something very important. I go, okay. Okay, please tell me. Tell me, Pastor. Is it biblical? He goes, no. Is it spiritual? He goes, no. Is it something that will uplift me? He goes, no. I'll go, Pastor, tell me what it is. He says, Gary, I want you to remember this. People are funny. People want the front of the bus. I go, yeah, that's true. He says, but people want to be in the middle of the road. Okay. But they also want to be in the back of the church.
All righty. Thank you, Gary. Yep, come on, brother. Nelson. We could let Brother James go then if you don't want to follow that.
My name is Lester Ellis, and I had the honor of meeting Cliff and Mrs. Judy and Kyle, and they've been a blessing to me ever since, and I'm sure they've been a blessing to probably everybody here. You know, one of the things I fondly remember of Cliff is that he never fails to write us a letter for birthdays, anniversaries, and I'm saying, how did he remember all these things right here? And a lot of y'all probably got the same cards, but I never could understand the reading. So I'll save the card and I go to his house and I say, what do this mean? And Miss Judy was, and him would explain it to me. I said, I thought that what it was, but it didn't look that way. But anyhow, it was good to receive that. And those little things that you can't buy, you're going to miss that. I mean, just to let you know, he was caring. When my wife had a death-defying accident, he was there along with Pastor, too. And he made sure anything we needed, which I just don't call on nobody for nothing, but he was there anyhow. He was persistent. And these are the things that you can't buy. I mean, I don't even know how to say it in any other words, but he was just a true friend, a soul of the Lord, and he showed it. And I'm from Niagara Falls, which I claim Buffalo, too. And I asked him, I said, well, because he told me when he, I said, why did you write all these cards? He said, I know all things. I said, well, if you know all things, is Buffalo going to win the Super Bowl? He said, maybe not, but they're going to play. And he was right. We played, but we didn't win. But anyhow, I want to say to Mama, we're here. Not just me, not just Steve, not just Pastor, every one of us. All you got to do is just let us know what to do, and I'm sure we would do it. All right? With that, thank y'all.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Ellis. James.
I'm James Battee. Thanks, Gary. You set a road that nobody can follow. But I just want to make two quick points. I've known Cliff for quite a while, since 2004. Two points I want to make. One is the fact that on Sunday mornings, I could hear him, and I knew him because he'd come along whistling. Some little nameless tune, but he was always in perfect pitch. I knew he was there, and you could know it. Second point is that everybody's already touched on it, but Cliff had the innate ability to know when people were hurting. When I worked with him as a greeter, he'd stand there and he'd see some people coming, and some he'd shake their hands. But somehow or other, there was something that would emanate from you to him that let him know that you were hurting. When he detected that, he immediately would pull that person aside and pray for them. I think that's something that we all need to emulate. As a Christian, we're supposed to be able to stand alongside, carry each other. I had a beautiful bulletin this morning about relational discipleship. What better discipleship can you have than to know people are hurting, pray for them, and let them know that you're earnest and sincere in what you're doing? We're going to miss Cliff. He's put a wide path that we all have to try to follow. And I see the kids are here. I love them. It's just more than I can bear to just think about him as not being here when I need him. Thank you.
Thank you, James. Pam?
Hi, I'm Andrea Miller Weir. He started out as my pastor, as Pastor Wixon. He counseled my daughter. I got to know him more. I started RU when he was running RU. They decided they needed snacks. I took snacks to dinner. And for every day we had RU, I fixed a meal. And he would come in the kitchen and say, "What are we having today?" And the many years he did that, I was there. He came to my dad's 70th birthday. He was there when my mom passed in 2006. He married my daughter down at Myrtle Beach. And along the way, he went from Pastor Wixon to Papa Wixon. He became my papa. Mama became my mama. And if I thought there was a need, I would try to fill it. But he would always say to me, "How are you doing today, daughter?" And I'd say, "I'm doing fine. What are you eating?" "I'm fine." No, I went in the last part. I tried to find everything that I could think of or cook just to get him to eat. And all of what I cooked and I carried and I bought, one day Lidl's had cherries on sale. It wasn't the season, and I actually took him some cherries. And Mom said, "Your dad said you're the best daughter ever." The only time I got that was when I took him some cherries. The Thursday before he passed, I went, I took the water, I took something for Mama and Kyle to eat, and his nurse was in there about to give him a bath, and I said, "Can I just see him?" And I ran in, I stepped around her, and he was just staring at me, and I said, "Hi, how are you doing?" And he smiled. I said, "No, don't talk. Well done, thy good and faithful servant." Amen. And I kissed him on his forehead, and he said, "That felt good." And that's how I'll remember my papa.
Amen. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Pam Messick. When I met Cliff and Judy at RU over 10 years ago, they taught me how to understand the Bible, not just what the Bible was, but to dig into it. He and her both had so much knowledge to give. And then when I came here to work, I think he was only one of the few that would actually come into my office because it was really cold. And actually sit with me. And he's like, "Oh, you're busy." "No, it's okay. Come on in." And he would sit with me. And he's like, "What can I pray for you about?" And so we would pray. And we would talk. And then he would go on his day. I think that's probably one of the things I miss most. And I would see him during church, and he would come and give me a big hug, and I would say, hi, Dad. And he's like, you need to go see Mother. Be sure to go by and see Mother. And so he also taught me how to forgive myself. And I know that is one of the things that I'm going to be missing most about him, is the comfort, because he was really great at comforting and praying for you.
Thank you, Pam.
My name is also Pam. Pam Acapenti. I didn't want to come up here because I feel very underdressed, so please forgive me. But I'm quite young, and so when I first came here, I kept my head down low. I didn't want to say hi or anything, but he would come up. He came up to me. He went to go shake my hand, but I was hiding my face from him, so he went, did that thing. He was like, look at me. And he went and he said hi to me. And I always, and then I felt bad because whenever I was coming in, he would see me and he would come, want to say hi, and he'll be like, no, don't say hi. But he was pretty persistent. And there was this one Sunday, I guess he felt something was bothering me, and he pulled me off to the side. And he's like, sister, God has you. He's taking care of you. And he prayed for me. I didn't ask for any of that, but he did. So I just wanted to be a little testimony that he does take care of you, that he was a people person who watches you, and he took care of you, and he prayed for you, and he stopped and prayed for me.
Amen. Thank you, Pam.
I'm going to try my best to keep it together. I met Judy first when we were in Bible study, and then I didn't meet Cliff until a couple years ago, and I don't know how I missed him. But he would stand right out there, and every Sunday morning, he would, if I snuck past him, he would meet me, and he would tease my husband. Every time he'd say, I know you weren't being good. I'll ask him if you were being good. And that's just the truth. And one thing I'll never forget is we were going through a really hard time a couple years ago, and there was a lot of just awful stuff. And I would come in, and he would see it on my face. And he just knew. And he would say, what's wrong? And I'd say, I'm just worried. And he'd say, now what does the Bible say about that? Are you supposed to worry? No, sir, you're right. I'm not supposed to worry. And I'll carry that with me forever. We're going to miss him.
Amen. Thank you.
Speak about a legacy. Excuse me. As a troubled teen who was all over the place, meeting Papa Wixon, coming to church, kind of, sort of, just starting counseling, and I was raised in a church. I was raised in Berean, and I just had so many peer pressure and things going on in life, battling as a teen. But as I started to have counseling and understanding who I was as a person and who God wanted me to be, what was my purpose as a Christian, as a child of God, it was through counseling with Papa Wixon. Learning to just understand purpose and being able to love myself and being able to love my family like I was supposed to. And just guidance throughout life. Like my mom said, he became our papa. I remember starting Liberty. And I had theology classes that, coming from a secular school, a secular college, you don't have that. So the challenge of now adding theology along with your regular course study, it was challenging. And I'm like, who could help me through this? So I would call Mama, and then Mama would be trying to explain to me, and then here comes Papa in the background. given his version of what we were trying to work through. And it's just showing the milestones throughout life that he's always there, has been there for me and my family. My kids, now, you know, even in their lives, the last couple of months we got to spend with him, he always told me, make sure you read to the kids. Make sure you read to the kids. And I'm like, yes, Papa. We moved to Greensboro. Have you found a church home for the kids? Have you found a church home for yourself? And, I mean, it was about us. Like, not about, he would never let you worry about him. How are you doing? It was about us. So, as I stand here, I'm so honored to be a part of his legacy. And I'm going to continue that on with my kids to know who he was, what he stood for. And I remember working at Faber Christian when they had a daycare. And he gave my reference. And he came to visit me one day. And they were saying, your papa is here? They couldn't correlate, obviously. So I went down to the office, and he's like, I was just coming to check on you, see how you're doing. But it was just funny how, like, they had this confused, your papa? So, you know, I had to, with my children, explain, no, you know, family can be of any race, come from any background. Your family are the people who love you and who want the best for you. So I love you, and I love my brother Kyle, and we'll always be here. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, sister. Any other testimonies or memories? All right, I'd like to kind of wrap up this time with a poem that I think kind of solidifies most all of these testimonies. But I entitled it God's Servant. And it says, you came to Berean so many years ago, you thought from God's work that you would slow. But God had other plans for you, there were so many more, he needed you to grow. Wise and encouraging words you spoke, you spread the truth and yet could joke. Pointing all to the God in whom you held, loving and caring those with whom you gelled. Always a smile upon your kind face, caring for others more than self was the case. You always remembered what others said, praying how to help while lying upon your bed. Unselfish, patient, and kind was your form. The fruit of the Spirit was just the norm. Your years of being in God's Word didn't puff you up or make you a nerd. You were a friend to everyone. To some, you were a dad to run. Encouraging, correcting, and showing the way, sharpening iron with others each day. Your heart for your Savior never waned. Always thinking of others was your fame. Even in adversity, you never breached. The kingdom of God was what had to be preached. You will be missed, and we will sorrow, but your memories will linger on tomorrow. You created a legacy that will stay, because you touched so many lives along the way. You are at peace and no longer in pain. We rejoice in knowing there is gain. Safe in the arms of your loving Savior, the one that you lived so many years for. We are sure you heard the words, well done, for the life you lived was the race to run. You lived for God and showed us his plan. It's belief in Jesus only, and not in man. Personal gain, wealth, and fame, in light of God's plan, are just lame. But living for Christ all of your days is eternal and will live on for always. Thank you, Cliff, for being our friend. Thank you, Cliff, for being our brother. We know that this is not goodbye, but rather, see you later is our cry. And I'd like to give this to you, Judy, to remember us by.
Would you stand one more time? We're going to sing a song that Cliff would lead at the end of communion. And then we're going to sing we're going to add to it a little chorus, "He is Lord," because Cliff believed that too. And Judy thought this would go nicely at the end of "Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for loving me." And they would sing this when they were finished with the Lord's Supper as they served in England. Let's sing it together.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for loving me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for loving me. It is not death to die, to
to leave this weary road and join the saints who dwell on high, who found their home with God. It is not death to close the eyes long dimmed by tears and wake in joy before your throne, delivered from my fears. Oh Jesus, conquering the grave, your precious blood has power to save. Those who trust in you will in your mercy find that it is not death to die. It is not death to fling aside this earthly dust and rise with strong and noble wing to live among the just. It is not death to hear the key unlock the door that sets us free from mortal years to praise you evermore. Oh Jesus, conquering the grave, your precious blood has power to save. Those who trust in you will in your mercy find that it is not death. Oh Jesus, conquering the grave, your precious blood has power to save. Those who trust in you will in your mercy find.
Wow, what a service this has been. All of you that have shared testimonies, save Gary, have made it a much better service. Gary, were you supposed to preach tonight? Is that because I was looking at the order of service and I wasn't sure, but take your Bibles and turn to Hebrews 13. I will not be long. I know what time it is, but I want to call our attention to verse number 8, the verse that Cliff says brought him to saving faith in Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. And so if you have your Bibles, please turn to Hebrews 13. If you don't, please take one of our pew Bibles and turn there with them. What a legacy Brother Cliff has left behind. I've asked everyone to share a memory, and I'll share two. Cliff never ceased to ask how Austin was doing. And Judy, Cliff always asked, how can I pray for you, Pastor? How can I pray for you? And as all of you have said, what you knew was that he meant it. It wasn't that empty, cursory, I'm praying for you, and you thought, no, you're not. No, he meant it. And so I would like us to read from verses 1 through 9, focusing on 8. Let brotherly love continue. Sisterly love continue. Let the love that brothers and sisters in Christ, the family of God, continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers. Cliff knew who was a member of Brian, who was visiting Brian, who was new to Brian. And at the 8:30 service, he never failed to find me and point out who the visitors were, where they were sitting, to make sure that I would take a moment to greet them. For thereby some have entertained angels completely unaware. Remember those who are in prison as though in prison with them, those who are mistreated, since you also are in the body. Let marriage be held in honor among all. Let the marriage bed be undefiled, for God will judge the sexually immoral and the adulterous. Keep your life free from the love of money. Be content with what you have, for he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we can say confidently, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man can do to me. I found it remarkable that even in the midst of this terminal disease, you never knew that Cliff was dying. It was remarkable the degree to which he just lived out his ministry until the very end. So we can say confidently, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man can do to me. Now look at verse 7. Remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Truly, Cliff was a leader in the body of Christ. Truly, Cliff was a leader in the church. And tonight, we have done exactly what the word of God tells us to do in verse number 7. We have remembered our leaders. We have remembered one of the leaders in the Berean community. And I am thrilled to find out that I was wrong all these years on BS. I just thrilled. I mean, it's what an education I received tonight. And I think that BS will be coined like Pew Buddies. And that will become a new way, that the goal is to become full of BS. Wow. What a thought. Let me just ask, did you just make that up or is that true? You know?
Right there, buddy.
Oh, okay. we may need some validating authority on that, okay? I'm not sure that Gary is a solid source of truth, but remember Cliff. Remember Cliff. Remember the fact that he spoke the word of God to you. Remember that his entire life and ministry starting in 1976 was built around the word of God. So ask yourself tonight, having been to this incredible memorial of a man who served the Lord, ask yourself tonight, am I building my life around the word of God? Ask yourself, did I just come here tonight to hear these testimonies about this incredible servant of the Lord only to walk away the same? Or have tonight I contemplated what Scripture says? Remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Notice the next sentence. Consider the outcome of their way of life. Consider the outcome of their way of life. Cliff lived his life in such a way that it was supposed to be, as the scripture says, imitated. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Imitate Cliff's faith. And then now let's look at verse 8 and wrap it up. Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, today, and forever. What's interesting to note is in the Greek, the verb is not present. It's not present. It's actually Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, today, and forever. It's like a battle cry. It's like a doctrinal declarative statement right there. And what we know to be true here is that this battle cry is central to the message. What do you mean, the message? Well, look at verse 9. This just the first little prepositional phrase there. Do not, the phrase there, the first one there. Do not be led away by diverse and strange teaching. All right, stop right there. So if you connect the top of 7, which is the word of God, to verse 9, which is strange teachings, the author of Hebrews is telling us not to allow the message of Jesus Christ to be changed in any way. In other words, the message of Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago, the message of Jesus Christ 1,000 years ago, the message of Jesus Christ today, and the message of Jesus Christ forever must not be changed. It remains the same. So the message of Jesus Christ that saved Cliff in 1974, the message of Jesus Christ that called him into ministry in 1976, the message of Jesus Christ that guided his entire way of life is the message that we preach today in the year 2023. And it cannot be changed. It must not be changed. What message are we talking about? Church, you know it. We're talking about his eternality. We're talking about his incarnation. We're talking about his sinless life. We're talking about his death, burial, and resurrection. We're talking about 40 days of being on the earth, proving that he rose from the grave. We're talking about his ascension into the heavens. We're talking about his mediatorial ministry where he is on the right hand of God the Father, interceding for all who believe. We're talking about the promise that he is coming again to establish an eternal kingdom where all of us who believe that Jesus is the Christ will spend eternity together. So, Steve, it's most appropriate that you ended your poem with "see you later," because we will see our brother in the eternal kingdom of God. And my question is, will you? Will you? Will you? Are you imitating his faith? Is your battle cry, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever? I'm going to pray, then we're going to close, and then Brother Mike is going to pray to dismiss the whole service. Oh, Father God in heaven, what a privilege it was to be a co-laborer with Brother Cliff in this ministry that you have blessed all of us with. And like everyone who has said, we will miss him. We pray, O Lord God Almighty, that we would be good imitators of this man of faith, and that each one of us in this auditorium would practice more what Cliff preached and lived out. His love for others, his dedication to the Word of God, his commitment to prayer. Help me, O God, to be more of a prayer warrior the way Cliff was. In Jesus' name, amen.
Would everybody please stand? Now remember, it's not over. We still got the fellowship together around the table. And so please follow the family. The family will get a head start and they'll be sitting at some tables eating some food. And feel free to stop in and check in with them and pass along the stories that you didn't get to tell tonight. One story that I think of that is basically every week with the life of Pastor Cliff is that he would come into my office and he would come and he'd just sit down. And as many people have already said, he'd be like, how you doing? What's going on? How can I pray for you? How's the week going? How do you think things are going here at Berean? And he wouldn't stay long, but we would talk through all those different aspects. And as we started to, you know, work through Sunday school and push harder on creating a discussion environment, he was excited about that. He's like, it's really exciting to see people discussing the Word of God. And as was said, he does like to hop into different classes. And so he goes, would it be okay if I kind of went around to the different classes and just kind of checked them out and then came back and we would talk about that? I was like, Pastor Cliff, that would be great. And so he would hop around different classes and we'd come in and he'd come into my office the next week and be like, this is what they're doing in that class. I mean, thanks, Pastor Cliff. But he was always concerned about the sheep. And that means a lot because he was a servant shepherd. He was a servant shepherd. Let's go ahead and pray. And then as I finish, feel free to go down to the multipurpose room then. Father, we thank you for the time, the friendship, the experiences that we had with Brother Cliff. Father, help us to keep those memories fresh, to think of him often, to share them with Miss Judy and the family from time to time as we get a chance. Father, help us to follow his example of being a servant. Father, this week, help us to think about that. Look for the opportunities that we can serve. Father, help us to think about who we can be praying for and who can we be checking in on and maybe sending a card. In Jesus' name we pray. God's people said, amen. Amen.